move quickly into what we had been looking on for a few more days back. We'd been looking at something very interesting. How many of us have been helped by the teachings that have come? And as I always say, the teachings are not just for the fun. So you say, oh, the word of God came today and it sounded like a nice thing. Unfortunately, there are quite a number of people who think the word of God sounds like a nice thing. They do not know that the teaching of God's word is what is termed equipping. You know what it means to be equipped? It's to be fully furnished with the right tools that you need. And those are one of the things that the teaching of God's word does. Like, prepares us, gets us fully furnished in what we are supposed to do. So we're going to look at suffering to enter. Just a few minutes, not too long today, as we always will do it. I mean, not long, not too long. Right? Suffering to enter. Acts chapter 14, verses 19. We'll read 19. We'll read 20. We'll read 21. And then we'll look at 22. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verses 21 to 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into God's kingdom. Tribulation, the ellipsis, right? A squashing, a certain kind of pressuring, a certain kind of distress, metaphorically, affliction. And it says that there is a way that we can enter. And I'm more conversant, you know, of laying emphasis. I'm more focused on laying emphasis concerning the scripture about entering into what God's called us to do, right? So there are many people who want to fulfill God's plan for their lives in the ministry. I'm talking more related to the ministry. And say, I've always received prophecies that God is calling me, or God has a work for me to do. Or when I was in JHS, somebody told me that I was going to be a very wonderful man of God giving to the cause of the kingdom. But how is this going to happen? How is it going to happen? How is it going to happen? And that's why I'm teaching you how to get in, right? How to get in is that we must, through many hardships, right, enter into what God has called us to do. You see, certain times I've been just a few days in ministry, not even a week, right? So I can say a few years, not even a year. You know, I've been a few days in here. And what I can say, you know, is this, is that there is always a very small thin passage into what God has really called you to do. Now, in that small thin passage is a timing that you should actually respond to. In other words, you should get into that passage. You should get into that small period that God has assigned for you. So there is sort of like a time and a season that you must get serious with the work. Because every time I get to speak to people, I get to realize you need to get along and do the work. That's every time I speak to people. And sometimes you will hear people say, I was saying that with someone today and I was telling her, you'll hear people say that, I can't believe I'm 58. You know, and it's not like they're exaggerating. They actually can't believe, because they can clearly remember how they celebrated their 27th birthday and their 26th birthday and their 30th birthday where they were. And now people are telling them that they are grandparents. They just can't think, you know, very straight on that matter. And that would tell you that the years are quickly moving. And so the more you shift your suffering, the more that window or that channel, it closes. Yeah. And following in on God's timing is quite an interesting venture. It takes His mercy to get you in the right time after you have missed out on a certain timing that you are supposed to. So you get to realize that, for example, if you were, if God wanted you to start, let's say, a cell or a discipleship group, and in His plan, if you gave yourself seriously to it, that work in 3 years should have birthed forth churches in other places. Now, in those 3 years, you should have been given to the job. You will get to realize that maybe you say, let me just be away for 5 years, or let me just be distracted a bit for 4 years so that I can attend to other important matters. And then you also get to realize that, oh, so by the time you come back to do that 3 years thing, in God's plan, actually, right, that 3 years, you should have started something in the fourth year that bets forth another thing for the next 3 years. Now, you were away for the first 4 years. So that means that already you have missed out on the first 3 years. And the second phase of the work you should have been doing, you have equally missed out on that faith. And so it almost seems like once you start missing out on timing, you start missing out on eventually like everything. You start missing out on eventually like everything. Yes. So if you're supposed to do something 3 years, you missed out on the 3 years, you were in your fourth year. Now in your fourth year, you are starting what you should have done for the 3 years. Then you get to realize that, oh, now for the 3 years, you've wasted all the time. And now you're struggling to do what you... So it just keeps piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up. And oftentimes, like I said, we all depend on God's mercy, you know. It's just God's goodwill towards us to help us. But if it's not so, you would have missed out on very great timings and purposes. And Kenneth Hagin used to share this in stories. Yeah. How God told him at specific times that things that he was supposed to do. So it's the same for suffering also. There's a time you should suffer something. If you don't suffer it, you will be amazed that once the time elapses, you failed to excel in that test of suffering that the Lord should have taken you through. So, maybe people are supposed to be doing certain things that the Lord wants them to do. And they just say, no, you know, let me not get myself enthused about it just yet. When I'm 40 years, I'll start thinking about this thing called serving the Lord and ministry. I think they're trying to indoctrinate us, and we must be very, very careful. No, that's going to be speaking lamely. No, that's going to be speaking lamely. Right? It's to understand that in that suffering, I don't know, I'm just speaking vaguely, but in that suffering, I believe strongly that there are timings also to sufferings. Yes, I don't know why I'm speaking because any timings to sufferings, but there are timings to sufferings. I believe tonight is a prophetic teaching. There are timings to sufferings. When you're supposed to be suffering in prayer and fasting, you are eating in prayer and fasting. A time comes where you should have grown to a certain particular magnitude. You didn't grow. So it becomes even more difficult to pray and fast again. Yeah. And oftentimes, even when you're growing older, we're not had the story in Jesus' name. But naturally, when you're growing older, you'll find doctors telling you, okay, now you're growing old, so cut the fastings, the lots of fastings. And they'll now tell you, eat intermittently and eat very, you know, healthy. You can't stay without food for certain longer periods of time. But you were supposed to be praying and fasting while you were young. Your body could have done all of those things while you were still young. But there was a timing to a certain kind of a suffering that you should have gone through that you didn't want to. And so because of that, you missed out on those growth processes that you were supposed to actually take advantage of. So it happens. It happens. Are you listening? Is that it happens. There are things that you should suffer for. And like I said, I already laid emphasis on what I mean by suffering. Nobody, I mean, there are quite a number of you. You're not going to be killed. You're not going to be slaughtered. But there are little sufferings that you should do and that you should also go through. Yes, that you should also go through. And I trust the Lord that He's granting you the strength to go through periods of sufferings. And periods of sufferings are dark moments. They seem very hard. Yeah, sometimes as a student, there is a certain period of suffering of having to combine studying and still following God. And God is watching you. Whether you just drop Him off completely and say, for the next 2 years, I will be studying, so I will not have anything to do with you. After I'm done, then we can have friendly conversation. He's watching you. So you have ample time for your studies. And you're still making up and having time also for your walk with God. So there are things that you must get in. I'm praying that God helps you see things that you must suffer for Him. Yeah, God helps you see things that you must suffer for Him so that you can be joyous in suffering those things for Him. Because certain times, even the suffering, we interpret that as God not being merciful to us. While in fact, those sufferings are there to build us into what He wants us to do. So begin to see it as that. Now, oftentimes, tonight I'll just speak about three attitudes that you must have while you suffer for the Lord. Going to suffer affliction, going to suffer name calling, going to suffer people teasing you, going to suffer friends leaving you, going to suffer having to give in your money, going to suffer having to live for the Lord and see other people do dubious things that you can't do, going to suffer something, some way, somehow. There's just a suffering somewhere that you're going to suffer. And there are three things that you must get ready for. Number one, be faithful in suffering. Be faithful in suffering. You know what it means to be faithful? It means to be very constant. Be faithful in suffering. There's a letter in Revelation to Smyrna. It's actually a church. Let's read that. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Be faithful in suffering. You know what it means? It's to be constant in suffering. For some people, when they have money, we will not see them again. Yeah. When they have money, we won't see them again. Because then they become too big to serve the Lord. And there are also some people, when they don't have money, they actually start to complain a lot of the times. They complain. And everything is complaining. And they always have to explain why they need money. No. Whenever you go through certain kinds of issues, again, I'm talking about being faithful in hard times. Be faithful. To be faithful is to be constant, dependable all the time. All the time. Making sure you are present all the time is one of the great attitudes to have. Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Be faithful. Be constant. Whether you have money, you don't have money, be constant. Whether you have people cheering you on or not, be constant. Whether you have people telling you, oh wow, you're looking wonderful in your service to God or not, be constant. Whether you have somebody telling you that this is what you should do, this is what you should not do, be constant. Be constant. Be faithful in tough and trying times. Be faithful. God tells you, preach, be faithful. God tells you, move out and evangelize. Be faithful. Be faithful is to be reliable. I remember when the Lord spoke to me and told me, he says, I was locked outside. In fact, this was how I got to Bible school. I was locked outside one night. So while I was locked outside, I was hiding somewhere and the mosquitoes were biting me. So I just got into one corner and I said, let me just rest my head a bit. And when I did, that was how I had leadings to get into Bible school. So at that point in time, I was coming to Accra for a reason. I can't really remember. So I think I was going somewhere. And then the church I was in stopped directly in front of a very small signboard that had Kenneth Hagin's picture with the name. And that was the first thing I saw when I turned. It was almost very supernatural. It's like you turn at knowing that you're going to see something that catches your attention. It's very spiritual. I don't know how to explain it. But it's supernatural. So I turned and that was the first thing I saw. And I said, Lord, you don't mean it. He says, you need to be faithful. So I was like, okay, I was going to pay school fees. I had some money on me by then. I paid my first year school fees. And then I got into Bible school. And then my second year, I kept on thinking, how was I going to pay? How was I going to pay? How was I going to work this out? But I just wouldn't worry about it. There's only once, if I can remember rightly. No, it's twice. It was one group picture I posted on my status. It was just one. I think that time we had a missionary come in from USA and she came to teach and then they took a class picture. And I was very grateful because that missionary blessed my life. And I posted it on WhatsApp. Just one. And someone said, wow, I didn't know you were here. Please, please send me your school fees for next year. And that was how I was paid. Because I was faithful to go. You see, that once I did it, once I finished school, many people don't even know I'm done. I didn't even post my pictures for school. Yeah. I mean, Martina, Ivan, Kelly, I think I go with it for my graduation. But I was faithful. So there are things that God will tell you to do. He wants you to be faithful. Hey, listen, He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be faithful. When He tells you, take the work of ministry serious, that's not the time to become inconsistent. No, it's to be strong and firm as steel. Be strong and firm as steel. Be constant. See, like steel, you are standing, unmovable. It is a great attitude to have while you go through hardships and you go through tribulations, phillipses, squashings, squeezings, pressings, distresses, is to be faithful. Let's have a testimony of Revelation 2 verse 8 to 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna writes, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. They were poor, but he says, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but thou art the synagogue of Satan. He says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Ellipsis, tribulations is a word. Thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. So you see that? The devil is actually casting people into prison. Now, prison, there will be states that you would not want to be. And he's actually casting people into prison. And he says that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulations. 10 days, listen to the instruction. Be thou faithful unto death. And here's the reward. You will be given a crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death. be constant unto death. Even if it means you are dying, he's saying, hey, choose faithfulness, a constancy, a dependency, a yieldedness to a certain cause. Be faithful even if you are dying. Be faithful and die. That's what he says. And when you die, you will receive a crown of life. A crown of life. So an attitude to have during tribulations is to be faithful. Don't say, I'm not calling in again to pray because God has disappointed me. You see, that's unfaithful. 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 You've allowed a certain kind of tribulation bring you down. See, I was expecting God for this thing and it looks like it's not happening. It's taking a while. No, that is the time to be constant at it. Be constant. Be constant. You say, oh, it's time for prayer. I wasn't expecting this bad thing to happen. But that's for prayer. I will pray. Be constant. See, I understand. This thing, we did not expect it to happen. But we are going to be constant. So you learn to be constant amidst situations happening. Any kind of situation happening, learn it. To be constant, be dependable, be loyal to a cause. Say, I won't come to church because the church are full of backbiters. You are just an unfaithful person. You don't know what's happening. You can't tell what's going on. So, do not lay down your weapons of fighting in the days of tribulation. Once you lay them down, you are finished. You are finished. We'll see that your head will be rolling on the floor. But I see people not getting finished in Jesus' name. Is that you'll be constant. Another attribute or attitude, sorry, to have while you go through these tribulations spoken about is patience. Many of the things that God will do with our lives, it will happen in patience. And I've always known this. It will happen in patience. You see, you can't have a 9-month-old baby delivered instantly because you are desperate for a child. You can't have it like that. You can't have it like that. You can't have a ministry blossom and do well overnight. You can't have it like that. In fact, nobody has it like that. And everybody will suffer something for what they want to see. I mean, no matter how you want a child desperately, you're going to have sex with your wife tonight and expect that tomorrow by this time, she's going to put to birth a bouncing baby boy because you are in a hurry to have a child. Doesn't happen that way. So whatever we are doing, are the steps we're taking in that fulfillment of the greater picture that we have. Why do you think we call in every day? And we pray together every day. And we're trying to keep in the contacts every time. And we're having meetings. We're having evangelisms. It's because that should tell you all of these periods are periods where the fetuses are still growing in the womb. Fetuses are growing. Yeah. The hands are forming. And the placentas are joining. And the baby's positioning itself well. And you see that first it was a simple clot of blood, but now we can see something like a human being right there as we view it on the scan. We can see that there's something in there. And it gets to a point in time, there's an extension of the hands and the arms. You can see it become actually a lively thing. And then long before you realize, it's a full-blown fetus ready to be born. It's the same with your ministry. God is not going to commit to you a full-blown, grown fetus overnight. That ministry of the teacher, that ministry of the prophet, that ministry of the evangelist, that ministry, whatever ministry God has committed to your hands, it's not going to happen overnight. Just, oh, please say, please do me sharp, 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 sharp. We don't do sharp, sharp. Yeah. Yeah. And as you stay faithful, right, God will increase his grace over your life. Yeah. As you stay faithful, God's going to increase his grace. And me, I see it every time. I see it when I enter into certain things. I know it. Yeah. Because it wasn't like this exactly 15 years ago or 12 years ago. Yes. So God actually ushers you into things as you stay faithful. So as a small suffering, you're already, you want to jackpot. Please, this word shouldn't come again. You want to leave what God has called you to do. You want to find something else to do. Say, Charlie, this ministry, say, Shay, ministry, we won't. Hey, your friend, tell them my uncle, when you some business be, and copy business be, and I am copy salesman be, and no, not ja, whoever boy, and I don't know, and then that guy who's not spiritual, that's your friend, will say, Charlie. Who says some cryptocurrency be a Kosovo as in TM Faho? I am going to share their Kosovo. See that they are following each other's zoos. But you see, oftentimes they were almost there. Maybe it's like you're almost there. You're almost at the brink of something that you should actually do. You're almost into something great. And then you leave it again and you are somewhere. And God is saying, why didn't this guy just be faithful? Still on faithfulness, and then we jump on into patience. Why wasn't he faithful? Why wasn't he committed? No. Many great things you will enjoy because you were faithful, and not just being faithful, but you were patient in tribulations and trials and persecutions. Parents coming after you and telling you things and insulting you. No, it's to be faithful. It's to be constant, unshaking. It's to be consistently straightened in the midst of adversity. I told me they used to cane me every time for church. Yeah, my mom used to tell me, Paula, I'm banned them. She would laugh at me. Not laugh at me in a negative, but she was laughing at me. She said, you've not come early at all. You didn't show up early. Paul. And I'll not be surprised if I start having revelations like Paul. Yes, because there are great things that we have had to suffer. Had to suffer many nights of not sleeping. And then you are patient in all of these sufferings. You know what it means to be patient in these sufferings? And faithful. Patience. I'm talking about patience, actually. While you are faithful, is to be patient. Is that in suffering, there is an attitude in suffering. You know, when some people are suffering, in fact, they are frustrated in the suffering. No, that's not what God is laying emphasis on. It's just a calmliness, a faith in his word. You don't go around murmuring. Let me tell you, murmuring is a sin. To murmur Ask the children of Israel, they'll tell you. When they started to murmur, God's fury rose up against them. So you see that some people are suffering, all right, something. And they're saying, God, why? God, why am I not serving you? You are murmuring. You are murmuring. You're not patient. Patience is an attitude. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. Is to be calm in that attitude. Is to have control over that attitude and not burst out. Is to be patient. You are patient while being faithful. Say that. What will serving God do for you? We've told you, do this, do this. You say serving God. You want to focus on serving God. No. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. The actual rendition is actually written, in hope, rejoicing. In tribulation, persevering. To prayer, devoted. These are attributes that you need. In hope, you are rejoicing. In tribulation, you are persevering. That's patience. You are being patient. You have an attitude of learning how to suffer. Jesus Christ could, you know, sometimes when somebody inflicts pain, that's when you actually see a threshold of your patience. Try it and see. Let someone slap you. You know whether you are patient or not. I mean, before you can actually impulsively think, you probably might have slapped them twice before you now say, Jesus, I'm now born again. Lord, what have I done? But you might have slapped them to a pa-pa. Then you're now saying, hey, hey. Yeah. So it's in actual tribulations that you get to know whether you are patient in those tribulations or not. You have an attitude of keeping and swallowing tribulations. So if it's just always murmuring and murmuring, that's what you are. That's what you are. I remember a time I made up my mind. I passed so many food ventures, you know, and I had my eyes on some particular wachi somewhere, and I passed so many, and once I get there, I can't get any food to buy again. So I get there, and then the woman I had my eyes on, she didn't even look up. I didn't know when I just started saying, these people are not serious. I didn't know when I just said, these people are not serious. I mean, I've had to pass several ventures to come in. And then you also don't, where do you want me to get food from? You see that? Patience. When you don't have food to eat, you can keep it in a certain way. And not burst out on God and say, God, you see, God, you are supposed to throw manna down from heaven. God throws manna down from heaven. You say, the manna has been tasting the same for some weeks now. We need sourced manna. No, it's not being patient in tribulation. Many times we are patient. I mean, many times we go through tribulation, but there's a kind of attitude. There's a kind of attitude. Joseph had that attitude. See, sold off to his brothers, left off into Potiphar's house, lied on, thrown off into prison, still maintaining that attitude in prison. Becomes a servant in the prison, meets people who can interpret dreams. He actually interprets a dream. One forgets that he was the one that interprets the dream. And then they go back. He has forgotten about him. He should have been bitter. There's an attitude. Sometimes we get bitter in tribulations. Let me tell you something. Let me open your eyes to something. Never exclude and highly exempt someone as being points of tribulations to you. Don't exclude anybody. Your father can be a tribulation. Your mother can be a tribulation. Whatever your job can be a tribulation. So don't say, I thought this person wouldn't have done this, but see what this person is now doing. No, you have overrated them. It's to be ready for tribulations from all angles. They come at you. And you say, I'm going to be faithful, constant. And while I'm faithful, I'm going to be patient in those tribulations. So you will be patient in tribulations. You have an attitude that can manage things. Manage things. So in tribulations, persevering. In hope, rejoicing. Don't be impatient while you are faithful or while you go through suffering. Maintain a good flow and an attitude. Maintain a good flow and an attitude. When you get into something, you know, a great man of God shares a story of how a certain couple were going to get married. And, you know, the guy just said that, oh, you know, let me just test this woman a bit. So a few weeks to the marriage, he went to the woman and told the woman that, see, let me be honest with you. I have impregnated someone. And before he could say, I've impregnated someone, there was already fire spitting out brimstone. And shoutings and accusations and confessions of saying, I knew you didn't love me. The man just said, oh, thank you so much. You have revealed to me your new self. She was impatient. Was saying, oh, poto. The man just said, hey, it's over. Because that's what you are going to show me inside. I don't need to see anything. I mean, it's not a good thing to do, but see, yeah. So some of you, I put you to tests, but you don't know. Many of you, I just say, do it. And I'm watching. I'm watching quietly. And I'm seeing, because that's how I can tell that this person is really serious about it. This person can be trusted. This person can. So there are tribulations we face every time that teach us as to whether we're going to get into something that God wants us to do well or not. I believe that everything that comes my way is a certain kind of a tribulation. And that tribulation will open me up to greater things or not. Or will make God say that, Pascal has been lifting up his hands and saying, he loves me, he loves me. He doesn't really love me. Doesn't really love me. Forget about him. And you get to come. See that boy? He doesn't really love me. Like I told him to do this. He never did. Doesn't really, really love me. He loves me, but he doesn't really, really love me. Yeah, he doesn't really, really love me. Yeah. Doesn't really, really love me. And then Gabriel is saying, And you know what? The clouds and witnesses of heaven are watching, seeing that we are encompassed by a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every sin and weight that easily besets us. So, Kenneth Hagin is watching. You think Kenneth Hagin is not watching me? When I call Kenneth Hagin, he's watching me. Yeah, Kenneth Hagin is watching. He's watching all of us. Yeah. Jesus is watching. Say, what will Ivan do? What will Luis do? What will Martina do? Let's see what we'll do. We choose money or you choose the gospel. And they are all rooting. Someone is saying that, you know, maybe William Brown is saying that, oh, the guy's going to choose money. Because I'm sure he's a prophet. And somebody who is so much of a love person will say, let's believe the best of him. He will choose ministry. and they're all watching. The stakes are high. See, the brother is choosing $2,000 over serving God. They're saying, we've missed it. It's not this guy we are looking for. And they are looking at another person again. May you not miss out opportunities to prove yourself to God, not to man, to God in sufferings. You see, God, this thing, many people have suffered it. I will suffer it and I will go through. Yeah, may you have great opportunities to prove yourself to God that you can suffer. Me, I'm proving myself to Him. And I'll keep proving myself to Him. Yeah. And I pray that He helps me see the things that I need to prove to Him. Yeah, there's something I told God. I said, God, this thing you've told me to do, I'll do it. And it's not a problem to me at all. I'm going to do it. I'll do it. This thing you've told me to do, I'll do it. Even if it was a mistake, I'll still do it and say, God, this thing, I did it. But it was a mistake. But I still did it because eventually I thought it was you. And I trusted you that you were the one. And I know God is not going to fail me. Yeah. So many times, sufferings, He's watching. And you know what He tells the church in Revelation chapter? The scripture we just read. Revelation 2:8, 1-2. Revelation 2:8-11. He says, after you've suffered, there is a crown of life. There is a certain glory that comes out of you. Remember last week, yesterday's teaching on being squashed and squeezed. There is a kind of a wine that comes out of you. And everybody becomes blessed by such of a taste that you are. So may you not miss out on opportunities to prove yourself that you are worthy of a certain crown of life. Worthy of a certain crown of life. Worthy of a certain crown. Worthy of a certain crown. Worthy of something that God should do with your life. May you not miss out on that opportunity. So Kinathian is watching. Will he do it? Let's see. God is always mentioning my name. I'm sure he's here to see Jesus quite a number of times. I'm sure even now, God, say, hey, you're speaking out. Pascal is preaching. He's preaching on Podbean. See what he's saying. Seeing that they are watching. They're saying, thank God he knows we are watching. And I know they're watching. Great clouds of witnesses. You think Reinhard Bonnke is not, thinking somebody should begin to do what he was doing before he left to be with the Lord? Yeah, I think so. I honestly don't know, but I think so. Yes, but he wants somebody to step in and do and continue with the great harvest that he had. And Frederick Casey Price wants somebody to step in, say, who is going to do another thing like this? And here you are. Just a little bit of suffering. And you just drop it like that. We are not afraid to suffer. You shouldn't be. So you'll be faithful in that. Listen, make up your mind. It's not going to be easy. Just make up your mind. Hey, this thing. I've made up my mind that the thing is not going to be easy. Let me not lie to myself that it's going to be all. No. No. I mean, when I say easy, I don't mean God's help is not going to be there. It's that while even God is going to be helping you, there are things that He will need you to learn while you go through all of those times and all of those seasons. I like the way the place is quiet. So you will catch these things and see them and run with them. So number one, be faithful, constant. Like steel. Number two, be patient. In tribulation, persevering. In prayer, devoted. Not being impatient. Maintain a good flow. Have a good attitude while you go through all of those periods. And number three, attitudes to have while you go through suffering. is be quick to act. Be quick. Be quick to act. One of the things you can tell in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 to 22, you can see how Paul was quick. Let me show you. Let me show you. It's here. It's very clear here. Ivan, kindly drop the scriptures. It's very clear. My phone is almost low, so it's here. You see it there. And how immediately he rose up and went into another city to preach. You see it. Verse 20. Okay, let's start from verse 19 and then we'll get into verse 20. Verse 19. And there came thither the Jews from Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around him, he rose up, and came into the city, right? Emphasis. And the next day, he jacked with Barnabas to Derbe. The next day, after being stoned to death, the next day, a third attribute to have in suffering is to learn to be quick and fast at acting. Learn to be quick and to be fast. The next day he's going. The very next day. Many of us delay on making up our mind. Say, oh no, you know, please, this ministry, we're not too sure. No. Be swift. Are you listening? Make up your mind and make it up quickly. Are you listening? The very next day, you are already on your move. Are you listening? The very next day, you are already on your move. Say, oh, please, sir, please, I have to take 2 years. Oh, no, I have to take 6 months. Hey, please, well, no. The very next day, the very next day, the very next day is to be swift at it. So be swift. Are you listening? Be swift. While you go through suffering, there are certain decisions that you must quickly make. Be swift. When God tells you, start a cell, start a discipleship group. Actually, I've not introduced us into cells, but discipleship groups. Go and do it. And I know a lot about cells. I've gone to cell meetings where they actually have practical teachings on cells. Yeah. So just get on into it and do it. That's not the time to say, I'm too. It's as good as not being done when you delay on it and you are not swift at it. It's like someone is hungry and by the time you realize, you've brought the food when the person is dead or something. If it was better, you didn't bring the food. Or the food is cold and spoiling, then you now bring the food. What should we do with the food? Many of us, that's how we respond to these things. So we go about just moving around, gallivanting and all over the place. And then when we get to realize things are not working, say, oh, for 10 years I've been with this company, it has not been really working like that. But I think I should also consider ministry. Too late, brother. It's to be swift and act fast. Are you listening? So while you're faithful, constant, dependable, loyal, you are patient, you have the right attitude in suffering. Number three, decisions that need to be taken quickly. You need to be taken quick. See, if you are making up your mind not to be part of Christ's family and what we are doing here, take it quickly. That's what I'm saying is that, let me say this in simple language, leave quickly. Yes, that's how you walk in God's plan. You don't delay at a place for too long when you know you are not going to be there. Instead, you just say, please, this, please, I'm not joining again. Say, I'm not planning to be part. So, say, please, can you just leave me and get me out of your discipleship? Something. Yeah, and it's okay. It might be painful now, but you have left quickly. It's a swift action that needs to be taken. Swift action. Swift is fast. When God told me to do something, I had to take a swift action. And I'm always trusting God to always help me to take swift, fast actions. They might be hard, but you take fast actions. Especially when you are supposed to take it, when He leads you to take it. So if you are not here, don't be calling in, you see, to please somebody. No, just go to wherever you think you can be fine. But if you are here, give your heart to it as though you were here. I mean, you are here, so you give your heart to it as though, you know, it's the only thing you are living for. Somebody listening to me? Or this one is too strong? I don't think so. Or you people are sleeping. Or the message is entering your heart. I want to know which one is, because the place is very quiet. I'm just interested because I'm not seeing anybody. Yeah. So, swift actions, fast. Say, hey, this ministry, I'm not here. Then we just sign you off quickly. Then you go. So it's fast. It's actually a sign. Yeah, it's a good attribute to have in tribulation. Over here, we don't join because we just feel like joining. No, there's a cause. There's a mandate. You can see that all our prayers are channeled in the direction of this mandate. It means we have our focus very focused. Do you understand? We're not too confused about what we are doing. Say, we are gathered tonight. We are killing people. Anybody following my destiny? Anybody? They die by fire. Anybody? Come on. Move gun. Shoot. One. P, two, P, three, P, four, P, 70, P, 120, P, 250, P, 400, P, 600. Pastor, we are going home. You know, just sign off and find somewhere to pass. You say P 600 times. Won't you get to sleep your time? I'm listening. So you want to know swift actions. Are you listening? If it's ministry, swift action. And take it early. Take it seriously early. A woman of God, I'm not a woman of God. Please, can you? Oh no. I'm not a woman. Hey. Swift. You say, yeah, God has called me. What can I do for you, please? Someone says, woman of God, say, man of God. The woman of God, say, man of God. Yeah, you accept it. You are taking that road swiftly. Swiftly. I took that road swiftly. Yeah, I took it swiftly. Yeah, I should tell my friends from time back. In JHS, I didn't really want it because I was like, nah. JHS 1, 2, 3. Even SS 1, 2, 3. I didn't really, really want it. I was thinking about leaving the country. So you see, this leaving the country thing. You know the funny thing? The funny thing is, I had a vision one time. And I was amongst whites and I was preaching. Yeah. I'm talking about long, 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 long time. Yeah. I could have said, CFI UK. It would be there, but maybe it's not how it was supposed to actually be. So have these three things while you suffer. Are you listening? Have them. Be faithful, means be constant. Be patient. Have an attitude. Have the right attitude. Don't just get angry. Don't you see I'm serving God? Can't you see I'm doing that? Can't you allow me? No, have a right attitude. Have a right attitude. Be firm, yet still be very sound in your communication. And lastly, take swift actions. Take swift actions. Take swift actions. Be fast on them. Say, it's ministry and my medical career. And we're going to have many lay people in the ministry. While you're focusing on the ministry, you're focusing on your career. Say, I'll become a medical doctor. Don't say, because of the ministry, I can't become a medical doctor. No, no, that's not what I'm saying. Is that you will become effective at the ministry and you become effective as a medical doctor. It means that as a medical doctor and doing the ministry, you will have to climb up all the academic ladders that you need. You're doing both together. So you can't fail one and leave the other. Say, I'm a lawyer. It means become the highest kind of a lawyer you can ever become. But yet still, become the highest kind of a minister you can ever become. And God gives grace for this. Yeah, there are people who are graced to do both together. And they do both so well. Both to the highest degree, pedigree. Both of them. Yeah. So lay people, you say, go to school. Don't say that, because of ministry, I can't go to school. No, that's not what we are saying. It's also suffering. It's also a kind of suffering. That you are going to school. You are doing your master's. You've done your PhD. Yesterday, we always see you in church. You are dedicated to serving the Lord. You have cell groups you are looking up to. So everybody here who is a lay preacher and everybody here is lay. We don't have a full-time structure. Everybody here is lay. It means you are going to be doing everything to the highest peak. Everybody. Everybody. So when we go to school, go to school. Go to school, go to school. It's all part of the suffering. So when you are becoming a carpenter, become the highest carpenter you can ever become while still doing the ministry. You're blessed.